You're listening to The Breakdown Duo with Deb and T-Wise. They break it down to build you up. Let's join this mother-son duo as they break down tonight's hot topic.
All right, what's up, everybody? This is T-Wise. I'm here with my mom, Deb.
Hey, Tyler. How's it going?
It's going well.
Thanksgiving week. It's been a good week.
And I was lucky because I know that you didn't like Dad being gone for Thanksgiving because you went hunting, but you wanted to have Thanksgiving with him. So we had Thanksgiving on Tuesday, and then we had normal Thanksgiving. So, man, double it up in the week. I love it.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
He can go hunting anytime.
We have lots of leftovers. So, yeah, we're in good shape. Well, as you know, if you're listening to us today, we've had a month where we've really been trying to focus on stories of encouragement, of miracles, and we've tried to keep them current. And this guest that we have today, it's really hard to introduce him because, for one thing, his family and our family, Tyler, you grew up with Dustin. Mm-hmm. So literally, when you go through our pictures, our big giant box of pictures, the Herring family and us are everywhere. We're skiing, we're camping, we're on cruises. We just really did life together growing up. Right. And Dustin's younger brother, Mark, was one of your best friends growing up. So we have such a history with them. And when you think of miracles, Dustin and his wife, Angie, their life is kind of a miracle. So we're trying to, like, how do we narrow it down to one story? But there is one story that we want Dustin to share with our listeners that we think will really impact, especially with Christmas coming. It's such an awesome thing that they did, and the results were so incredible. So, well, without further ado, let's welcome Dustin Herring to the Breakdown Duo. Hey, Dustin.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, what's up, man?
I'm down here coming to you from Nicaragua, so it's a little warmer here than you guys are at in the Northwest. We're talking about Thanksgiving, and we hosted a Thanksgiving dinner for a bunch of friends that have become family to us down here, and we could not find a turkey this year. Well, I could find a turkey, but it was like $140 for like a little turkey. And I wasn't doing that, but we live right by the beach. So we found a fisherman that went and found lobster. So we had lobster for our Thanksgiving dinner and turned out to be cheaper than turkey. And it was kind of fun.
Now, how crazy is that? That's kind of a spectacular Thanksgiving meal.
And the thing That's I didn't awesome. Anticipate is I've never had a shellfish allergy, but apparently cooking and dealing with lobster all day by the end of the night, and I ate my fill also, my eyes puffed so almost shut that I couldn't see. And then yesterday I was just barely recovering. I'd wear sunglasses all day because we had to, our Black Friday now is we measure all of the students in our program. We measure them for their shoes for next school year, and they come and write some letters to people that help take care of them. And so it's like, it's a big day for us, but not shopping wise. So
yeah,
I was a little embarrassed to show up with my puffy eyes, but
I'm all right. Well, we have to get to the story. So let's just back up a little bit. You mentioned that you're in Nicaragua. And Dustin, just briefly tell us, you know, about your family. You and Angie have four kids. Tell us about the kids, like their ages. And and I don't know how you can make it brief, but how on earth did you get to Nicaragua?
I'm the worst at making it brief, but I'll try. Like, so about 6 years ago, we were living in a little town called Florence on the Oregon coast. And we felt like that we should make the move with our family to Nicaragua. And so kind of set things in motion to do that. And you were saying it's a miracle, but I don't know. I think it's more just like it's a one saying yes at a time. And then all of a sudden, it's not always a safe yes or like the secure yes. But I guess when you feel, only way I can say it is like the Lord tugging on your heart to do something. I mean, it might not seem safe, but if you can go ahead and take the step towards that, then like things seem like they, at least in my life, start to open up, and you don't get to, you usually don't get to know everything ahead of time, like a big old map. It's more like,
yeah,
you know, let's step through these trees and then let's take one more. And that's kind of how all of this has happened, is like, okay, well, we'll do the next step. And so that landed us in Nicaragua, and over the years that has developed into a children's after school program, is the easiest way to describe it. And so we have classes for kids in our community that are, we call it reinforcement class. So that is a word that is recognized here as kind of like tutoring. And so students come, and they come to tutoring in the afternoon, and then they get extra help in reading and math. And then we take time with them to really kind of mentor them along. So there's some time for fun and time to get to know their teacher. And we try to have that, those groups, like no more than 10 kids. So they have a mentor that they can really get to know, and they become part of this little family around the table. And for that reason, that little ministry is called La Tribu Radiante, which directly translates as the Radiant Tribe. And we chose that name tribe because we wanted to, like, we wanted these kids to feel like there's a place that, like, that is for them, like that's working together and loves them no matter what. So anyway, that's how that came about. And so that grew from like a little group of a few kids around a picnic table on our patio to now it's about, I don't know, this year we're serving about 280 students in two little locations in our town. So yeah, so it really blew up, and that also made it so that we were able to provide a bunch of jobs here locally for teachers to kind of mentor along all of those students. So that kind of leads us to what we wanted to talk about, and that is being able to help out our staff, which is now up to about 25.
Before you go there, I have a couple questions just to clarify. So when you got there, I loved how you said it was step by step, because that means that some of those steps there were struggles. And you know, where you are now with serving over 200 kids, it's so easy to think, wow, and not realize the journey. How many years have you guys been there, Dustin?
We're coming up, it'll be 6 in February.
That's just crazy. In 6 years.
And the thing is, though, like the journey of this didn't start only 6 years ago. Like it started well before that, where there were some other small yeses where we kind of began to, I guess, reorient our lives around the mindset of how could we live on less so somehow we could give more away. And whether that is like, that started off as like kind of investing in our own children and taking them out of the country to Mexico one time. And we went and visited an orphanage where we sponsored a little boy. And so like, that was like a long time ago, 9 or 10 years ago, that we did that with our kids. And then that kind of opened up a spark like, well, what if we made our life more about doing something like this than figuring out how we can make more money and get all the stuff? And so we began to make some little changes like that. Like the first one was to sponsor that little boy. We were like, we should do just something that isn't just one more expense, but what, so that was when we got rid of Dish Network back in the day when you had a satellite. So like we canceled TV and we sponsored a kid, and that was maybe one of the first steps, I think, in moving this way. And then, you know, we kind of started being, put things through that type of filter of, well, how could we not spend money on this so that we might have a little more to, you know, take our kids even to another country. I think that's a part of where it stemmed from, was to give our kids, our own kids, a like a bigger view of the world than small town USA. I don't know. I don't think that's necessarily for everybody, but for us, that we really felt like we wanted our kids to see and have a broader perspective of the world.
That's great. When you moved, so 6 years ago, your oldest son is Nolan. How old was the oldest one when you moved?
He was 12 when we moved. I was just looking at pictures the other day, and I was like, at the time, we were like, we don't have much time left with these guys. Like, he's 12, that's six more Christmases. You know, I started to think of things like that. And we're like, we're ever going to do it. We should do it now. And if it's a bad experiment, then we'll just come back and start again. And that'll be okay. Like, we will have invested a chunk of time in this experience. And then if people don't come alongside it, then we'll just count that as like a grand adventure and we'll start the next one. But yeah, so now he's 18 and we brought them here when they were tiny and we thought they were very big when we brought them here. Right. But my daughter, who's 11 now, I mean, she thinks rice and beans is a more normal thing to eat than French fries. Like, she doesn't even like them, really.
Sure.
Wow. Hey, Dustin, I know, having grown up with you and Mark, what our childhood was like and how blessed we were in so many different ways and the things we got to do as families. And having your kids go through this journey and this experience, have they taught to you, or have you been able to see in them some of the differences, either in the way they talk, the way they behave, that these opportunities have, as you said, you know, broadened their view of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen anything specific to you? Like, man, I'm so glad we did it for that reason right there.
I think, the best example I have of that is probably Nolan, our oldest son. He's 18. And one of the things with, like, we've homeschooled our kids all the way along the way. And one of the things in Washington is you can do your first 2 years of community college at the same time as your last 2 years of high school. And so we kind of always had that idea in our mind for our kids if they wanted to take that opportunity. And so that snuck up on us a little bit with Nolan because we thought all the classes were going to be able to be online. And he chose, and something that kind of like started getting a hold of his heart was the medical profession. And he has some mentors and stuff who are ER nurses and things like that. And so he thought that would be a great way to like help people in the world for one, but also be a job with a legit skill that he could earn a living and also end up with some time to go and do work other places and things like that. So he started on that nursing path, which meant that he had to go right away and live up in Spokane with my mom, which is our like permanent state's address. And so so he did that last year. And when he came back, he was there for two quarters and he came back. And it was like a church came around him really quick, a church that supports us down there that we've been a part of. We actually helped plant before we left a long, long time ago. And there that church was 18 years later when he needed a loving family, which that makes me almost like makes me tear up a little bit to think about. But when he came, so they came around him, he had a group of people, but it turned out like one of the interesting things is he does not fit in with high school kids his age, unfortunately, because of the experiences that he's had. Yeah. Like, and it was a little hard to move between both worlds because like, on the property next door to me is an outhouse just with like four poles in the ground and plastic wrapped around it and a hole in the ground. And then there's kind of the opulence of the United States and a nice college that he got to go to. And so like reconciling that, I think, was a good experience for him, but also not easy. And when he got back after two quarters, I think the thing that made my heart happiest was he said, you know, I didn't realize it before, but like what our family does in Nicaragua actually is like, it's like a cool thing. Like it's a good thing. It's a cool thing in the world. And he goes, I've always been a part of it as being like we did this as a family, so I came. And now he was asking, is there anything that I can do at Water and Light that is like, now I'm choosing to be a part of it? And so for me as a dad, that made me feel like, wow, okay. So because I realize I want to impact the world in this way. And it feels like kind of empty in my school life where I'm only focused on myself all the time. And it felt so good for him to be back and have something to do. So we put him to work with some communication with donors and sending emails and stuff like that. Because what I really need and what we were kind of feeling like our next step was we need someone who can navigate both sides, who has a deep understanding of Nicaragua and kind of like the extreme poverty that is here and can treat that with respect and dignity. And at the same time, be able to type out an email to a donor that's professional and tells a story with a heart behind it that someone in the States can understand. And so like, that's been a really cool thing over this last year to see him start to blossom that way. And I think, I don't know, probably the jury's out a little bit on the other three coming down the line. We currently have four little goat babies that Ryder, my next son down, wanted to do a goat project, and he wants to be a chef, and he's making goat cheese. And then all of a sudden we decided, well, we can have milking goats. And then, well, what if we had baby goats? And then all of a sudden we have four baby goats and they have to be fed every 3 hours. So, and he's taken on that whole responsibility, which he never would have had in the States. And he's always just talking about, I really love it here. I think he'd like to see what it's like in other countries also. Yeah. But I think that's another thing, is like the other countries aren't just the United States. Like he might like to go see what it's like in Spain or, you know, wherever else. So I think the goal of broadening their vision of the world, that definitely, I can see that happening. Yeah. I don't know. Our youngest boy, Parker, though, I could also see him like having some bachelor pad in the States with like black leather recliners, and he misses the cold a lot.
I love it. That's great. Well, that moves us. Let's move into the story that we wanted you to share about your teachers.
Sure. Well, I can't take complete credit for the full story, because I think this is like the kingdom of God, like really at work. And so it turns out that a friend of ours that lives in Seattle, she's a school teacher, and she happened to be, I find out later, she happened to be like in one of my cousin's weddings, like way back in the day. But anyway, she and her husband helped us a little bit early on. They were some of our first people that came alongside and were like, hey, is there any way we could help? What are some ideas? And so they helped us percolate some ideas in the beginning. And so they've been kind of along the ride for the whole time. But she is a teacher. And so the first year that we had like five or six teachers, she traveled down. And she did some teaching, like a teaching workshop for our new teachers. And she spoke okay Spanish and had enough energy that didn't matter if she spoke Spanish, and taught our teachers. And so she kind of fell in love. And I think that's one of the things of like coming to visit, is that all of a sudden when you see and taste and smell and like start to have a relationship, all of a sudden like that really sticks in your heart. And so anyway, so she pitched this idea to us of, she goes, what if my husband and I want to do something, but we want to give a gift. And she's like, remember that old movie? I think it was in the 90s, Pay It Forward was the name of the movie. She's like, how you receive this blessing and then kind of you pass it forward. It's a really simple idea. So she said, what we would love to do, if you guys would be willing, is we'd love to donate a chunk. And then with that chunk of money, then you can divide that among the teachers that you've got, and with the idea that then they would take that blessing that they received of money and they would keep some for themselves, and they would pass. We kind of structured it as about a third. So they would keep 2/3, and they would pass a third on. And then the second person who received that blessing, they would tell them why I'm doing this whole thing, and here is your piece. And then ask that next person to also pass the third along as well. So always the numbers don't shake down exactly in thirds, but that was the original idea. So this past year, for kind of it usually happens around Easter time here, which is a really big celebration. The whole month is kind of a national holiday here called Semana Santa. So from Good Friday till Easter, people have work vacations, and it's a really beautiful time. But so we thought, since they're off during that time, that would be a good time to give the gift, as we call it. So so now this year it turned out to be a pretty big thing, because there's 25 teachers who were going to receive this.
Wow.
And just to put it,
five.
Yeah, from five. So to put it into perspective, like a normal daily wage in US dollars here, like is around $10. So that's like a decent job that you'd make per day. So side note, when I hear about people not being able to go work in the United States, it makes me frustrated. Because people will work here for $10 a day and be happy about it. But anyway, so consider $10 a day. So if you work a 5-day week, you're at $50. And so the amount that was given this year between kind of lots of different people, because it passed from our friend in Seattle. We kind of pitched it out to some of our other supporters this year, and we're like, we'll give as much as you guys want to give. So it got to get a lot of other people involved first, to kind of like turn loose of a little bit of money from the United States to here. Then, so this year it ended up being for the 25 teachers, $120 we gave them in their envelope.
Wow.
Then they gave away $40 to the next person down. And then that person was to give away 10. And so, first of all, like, if you can imagine, like, basically getting, you know, 3 weeks' wages in an envelope, that's pretty cool, for one. So that's fun. So, you know, in a society where we're, and at least in our community, people are, I mean, they're subsisting day to day. They go shop for the rice and beans for today, this morning. And then tomorrow, they're hoping whatever they did today is going to earn enough money where they can shop for that same stuff tomorrow. And so when you, there's not often you get kind of a little influx of money. And so there's, you know, everyone, I think everyone has like a little list of things in their head. They're like, oh man, if I ever win the lottery, I'm going to do this. Or if I ever get a little, if I get my tax return back, this is what I'm doing. So I think everybody has a little bit of that in their mind. And we had put no stipulations on their chunk of money. Like, if you want to buy all food with it, you can. If you want to put it towards repairing your motorcycle, you can. So there's actually some pretty beautiful stories that came out of it, because we asked them, at least our teachers, to please write down for us, who did you give it to? And what did you use your money on, and then who did you give it to, and what happened? So one of our, several of the teachers used it to go finally, one girl used it, her mom's needed glasses for a really long time. And so she used it to go take her mom to get glasses, which you're like, wow. Really? You need glasses and you can't go and get them? But yeah, they can't. And so now her mom can see. So that's beautiful. Some of them just bought food. One girl, there's like a little really rickety carnival that comes to town during Semana Santa. Like, if it got retired in the United States, like, it somehow got trucked down here and rebolted together, and now they use it. And so some people had a little bit of money to go kind of blow at the carnival. And probably my favorite one, I think, is a single mom who has, she's a teacher for us, and she came from an abusive relationship with her husband. She finally shook free of that. And so she's a single mom now, with two beautiful daughters who are super smart. And she wrote in her note, she's like, I have a really small refrigerator and I filled it. And that was the first time that I filled it. And that felt so good to know that I had like backup for a few days. And then she talked about, but having that refrigerator filled, that felt good for me and my girls. But it was so fun to also be able to be generous.
Right.
Which when you're on the day-to-day, buy my own stuff to survive today kind of thing, you do not get the opportunity to be generous.
Sure.
Very often. And so she was really thankful for that opportunity that finally she got to be the one, like, give the gift. And so I think, you know, out of 25 teachers, every one of them has a story like that, that the money went out and then the money went out then one more time after that. So we had 25, then it went to 50 because had received it. And then, I mean, we just don't know how far it stretched. And I think that's a really cool thing to think about, because sometimes, well, being in the nonprofit world, I feel like a lot of people will just like kind of set the donation and forget it. And it like goes out and you get the thing off your tax return and maybe you're not really super invested in it. But I think there are some people that are really invested, and then you get to have this, kind of these beautiful stories that happen from it. And I think when we always strive to be a bridge between the United States and Nicaragua, that's kind of like the position that we're in. And so I don't really feel like I fit in either world anymore. Never going to be all the way here, never going to be all the way there again. That's okay. And I think our job is to try to tell a few stories like this. And the thing is, there's just enough money to take care of everyone. If you think about it in the scheme of things, there's enough out there. So we have to get people to be inspired to kind of like inspire at the opportunity to go ahead and turn loose of a little bit of it and like unleash it instead of, I don't know, a new iPhone. Maybe this one could last two more years and you could unleash some money into the world. So I don't know. That's an interesting way, I think, to think about it is the opportunity to unleash a resource for good into the world. And so I guess that's what I encourage people to look for, is like, is there one that you're inspired by? Like, it doesn't have to be this one. It doesn't have to be Water and Light in Nicaragua. It could be whatever other country or whatever other neighbor that's right next to you, to like unleash some good into the world. I think we could use more of that.
Hey, Dustin, I thank you so much for sharing that.
Powerful.
It definitely, always, especially this time of year when, at least in the United States, families are out spending so much money on things that we don't need. You know, it always is a fresh perspective and makes you realize what's really valuable and what's really important. And
it is inspiring.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. I was just, as you were talking, I was thinking about something. Before you guys moved down there, how many countries had you personally visited outside the United States?
Well, I was technically born in Australia, but that I don't count as a visit because I've never been back. I'd like to, but I haven't been back. So I had visited Mexico, Venezuela, Canada, and Nicaragua. Those are my. Okay. And my wife, Angie, did some school in Spain, and she had been to Venezuela as well. We kind of had like a, I don't know, like a soft spot in her heart for kind of Spanish speaking culture. So, you know, that kind of led into it, I think, with our, you know, how we're kind of uniquely constructed as people. We had those tendencies, I guess.
Yeah. And I'm asking that because, you know, I've been fortunate to travel a few different places around the world as well and do some different work. And it's just every time I go, you know, I come back to the States, I'm like, hey, I'm happy to be back, but, you know, my perspective is so different now. Mm-hmm. And I just, the value of getting outside of your environment and traveling and investing in other people, and it's so good for the soul. And I wish more people would take the time and opportunities to do that.
And yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think it can also happen. I mean, like culturally in the United States, also there's wide variety of cultural areas. I mean, mm-hmm. What I've started to learn about here too is the amount of, I mean, I'm referred to as an expat or an extranjero here, which means I'm not from here, but I live here now. And like, we have a lot of those expats living in the United States right. that are like downtown where, right, that you could drive to in 10 minutes. And those are, there's like communities of people there. And so like culturally, if like also, if you don't have the means to travel outside of the country, just finding some other community with folks that are not like you, I think can also kind of broaden your perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you so much for sharing today. And if you're listening today, I hope you are inspired to just kind of rethink the whole thing about the holiday season of how does God want you to give, and what might be something that you could add to your traditions that would be more selfless. But it's just a powerful story. You did a great job sharing. So Dustin, if somebody wanted to donate and support this amazing, it's called Water and Light. If they wanted to support you and really get information about what's going on over there, how would they do that?
Sure. Well, we have a website, and it's the address is waterandlight.international. No .com on the end, just waterandlight.international. And you should be able to find it that way. Also social media wise, Water and Light has an Instagram also, but just because of our place here in this country, we just try to keep it pretty quiet on social media and things like that. So you see some pretty pictures of Nicaragua and things, but if you wanted to know more about what you're doing, our website is the easiest way. And we have to kind of keep it old school. We're not like, we're just above faxing, but we're still sending emails because that's the way to kind of tell the story to people who would like to hear it. So you could jump on the website and then from there, find all those other things.
And people can always reach out to us directly, the Breakdown Duo at debweisen.com. If you want any additional information, we'll be sure to get that out to you as well.
Yeah.
So awesome. Hey, Dustin, you know, you're like a second brother to me, and you know, we definitely love you guys and just appreciate everything that you guys are about and everything that you do.
Why don't you pray for me before we close?
Yeah, definitely. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to lift the Herring family up to you. And Lord, we thank you so much for their tender hearts and their willingness and openness to just live a life that you called them to live. And as Dustin said, to just take it one step at a time, allowing you to work in between each one of those steps and make sure that their path was guided. And it's been such a fun journey to see you work in that. And we just ask for continued blessings, continued protection, and be with the family. And as they continue in this process, really start working in the hearts of each one of the kids, that they would also seek your desire for their life and whatever their future looks like. And Father, we also want to pray for everybody that's listening, that you would be inspired by Dustin's story, and that somewhere in your life you would feel a calling from God to change it up and do something different and be a blessing unto other people. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for who you are and everything that you do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. It's fun to see your faces.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this week. And Dustin, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure. And
we will see everybody next week.
Thank you for joining this broadcast with the Breakdown Duo of Deb and T-Wise. Share this podcast with someone it might help and hit subscribe. See you next week as the duo breaks it down to build you up.